Good job. Aren't you thankful for that stranger from Galilee? Amen. I hope so. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I just want to say thank you for all the staff and faculty. You guys have done a great job. I tell you what, you're in the trenches and you're battling the battles, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And student body, I've got to ask for a confession. I am a people person, if you can't tell that, and I love hanging out with people and just hanging out with you all, and I just have not been able to as much this year, just because we've got a lot going with school getting started in our own trailer and teaching some classes here. I feel like I've forsaken you, but I really do wish and love to get to know you as much as I possibly can and pray for you. I love young people. I love preaching to this age. I really do. I feel like this is the next generation that's going to keep going forward in the right direction. And so I want to invest in that. All right. I want to be one of those that say, you know what? Hey, I know your generation is different than my generation, but it's okay. Okay. It's okay. We can work together. All right. And so if I can be a blessing to you, a help to you, if I can do anything for you, man, you stop me. Get my number. Call me, text me, and we will try to be as much as possible for you that you need in the service of the King. Amen. And so we're so thankful for that. This morning, I'm going to relay some truth about myself. You say, well, you're not supposed to preach about yourself. No, I'm going to preach about a weakness. Hey, you're going to preach about a weakness. You know, I find in the scriptures that I can't relate with Christ very well in his majesty. I can't relate with that. I can't relate with his knowledge. I can't relate with his power. Why? Because I'm not omnipotent. I'm not omniscient. But what I can relate with Christ is oftentimes through his weakness. Jesus said, I thirst. I can relate to that. I'm weary. I think some of you can relate with that. I remember my freshman year here at Ambassador coming. I was 29 years old and I had three kids. Been out of school for a long time, obviously, by that time. My freshman semester, first one, I was working on staff here at maintenance, and they said, by December, you're going to have to read three 500-page books. And I thought to myself, I haven't read 500 pages combined in 29 years. How is that going to happen? To the Golden Shores, get out of here. That's going to take me 5 years. And you want me to read it in 3 months? And then Dr. Charles is like, you got to read the Pentateuch like 5 times. And I thought to myself, what is he thinking? That's impossible. I don't like to read. This isn't going to work. And then opening revival, it seemed like I was in this room all the time. So when? When were you, were like, don't you have to sleep sometime during the week? And like, yeah, and you're going to be tested over it on Monday. Like, so then Saturday, Sunday, I'm not supposed to sleep either? I was distraught. I thought, this is impossible. What, don't these teachers know that 500 pages takes like 5 years? And you want me to do three of them? In 3 months? I mean, I was really weary. But you know, I find that oftentimes through weakness is where I relate best. You say, well, what is it, preacher? Brother Beal preached a wonderful message on the powerful prayer topic. Boy, I tell you what, we need that. But you know what I find about powerful prayer? It happens through private prayer. You know, I find public praying is easy, isn't it? I mean, come on, honestly, if you're asked at church to pray, don't you kind of feel special? Hey, preacher picked me. Or maybe one of the professors in the classroom say, hey, would you open up us in prayer? Or maybe you come back to Ambassador and Dr. Comfort picks you out of the crowd and says, hey, Brother Metcalf, would you pray for us? Man, love that. I find that corporate praying, it's not bad. You get together maybe at your church, or maybe you get in the prayer band, missions band, prayer meetings, or maybe for revival, and you come together as a group, and boy, you got the opportunity to pray with one another. Boy, that's wonderful. Maybe you enjoy that. But I find that one of the harder ones for me is private praying. Where it's just God and me. That's it. And I find, Brother Beal, that the power doesn't really come from the corporate, though God can bring power through it. My experience is when I get alone with God, and it's just me and God. And many times when I get alone with God, I tell you what, it's not always pleasant. You say, well, why isn't it pleasant? Because He brings me to the woodshed. And I kind of grew up like Brother Beal did. When Dad said, hey, you want me to give you something to cry about? You don't reply. That was not going to be a good day for you. Your backside was going to be a glowing stop sign. It was going to hurt. And sometimes I feel like my private prayer sometimes is hindered because I just didn't like that feeling. I don't know, maybe you got into it. But I didn't like getting chastised. I didn't like getting convicted. I didn't always like getting challenged. And then sometimes I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to pray. Well, this morning, I'd like to look at 1 Thessalonians because I see a man by the name of Paul that really had three prayer requests for these people and for himself. Boy, sometimes even though I don't know what to pray, I find that when I start praying the Scriptures, God likes what I'm saying. You see, when you start praying God's will in your life, you say, well, how do you know it's God's will? Because God's Word often reveals God's will in your life. It's amazing what'll happen. So this morning, I'd like to look at Paul's private prayer for himself and for these believers here that he obviously had much joy in. But notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 9. This church obviously had a dear spot in the heart of the Apostle Paul. He refers to him as his joy. Matter of fact, chapter 2, verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. Drop down with me to verse number 9. It says, for what thanks can we render God for you for all the, there's that word again, joy. The Bible says, wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Now drop down to verse number 10. Night and day. Now that seems like a lot of praying, doesn't it? I'll tell you this, it's a lot of private praying. night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your heart. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards one another and towards all men, even as we do towards you to the end. He, God, may establish you, your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, as I bear my heart to this group of young people, Lord, would we be encouraged to renew our private prayer life to you? And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do here at this place. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name. Amen. Samuel Chadwick wrote a book entitled The Path of Prayer, and he said this, that prayer is the ultimate manifestation of sonship. I like that. You say, what are you talking about? If my son, I've only got one boy, his name's Bryce. Some of the faculty know him. Were to run short on money. If he were to have a question. If he was struggling with something. Do you realize he probably would not call Brother Beal? No, I'm not saying Brother Beal wouldn't help him if he did. But most likely that wouldn't be his first option. Brother Beal knows my son. When we were here, he grew up with his boys. But the truth is, there's an obvious reason why he wouldn't call up Brother Beal. Because Brother Beal isn't his daddy. I'm his daddy. And so Bryce, matter of fact, he called me yesterday and said, hey, Dad, what do you think of this? And because I'm his father, he's communicating to me because he's my son. And he's asking the father, what should I do? It's a manifestation that Bryce DeAndre is the son of Jacob DeAndre. Now get that. As a child of the Heavenly Father, when you pray, it is manifesting that you are a child of God. That's huge. Why? Because though Jacob DeAndre is weak, though Jacob DeAndre is not omnipresent, though Jacob DeAndre does not know everything, his Heavenly Father does. And so when I decide I am going to ask God, I'm going to ask my Heavenly Father through private prayer, I am ultimately showing that I am his and that he is mine. But in this scripture, though that be the case, many times we struggle with this idea of private prayer because we just get tired or run out of things to ask God for. And Paul gives us some prayer requests that, let me tell you, you'll always be in need of. You always can improve. And so I'd like to give them to you this morning. Notice the first one with me. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking, I love this, in your faith. Number one, I believe Paul's prayer request that he says that he has for himself and for these people is number one, that they would grow in their faith. that they would grow in their faith. No matter of fact, this is how it's stated. He says in verse number 10, he says, and might perfect, that's the word complete, that means mature, we know that, it's not sinless. We'll never be sinless. That you might grow, or you might become mature, you might complete that which is lacking in your faith. Can I stop for a second? There is no one under the sound of my voice this morning that has arrived. Brother Spencer hasn't arrived. Brother Metcalf hasn't arrived. Brother Christensen hasn't arrived. Dr. Beal hasn't arrived. None of us. So let's get out of our mind that, oh, look. Oh, there it is. Perfection. No. We're all lacking. There's not a person in this room, including this preacher, that has come to the place of perfection. That's going to help you out tremendously. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to mature. Why? Because when you start maturing, when you start taking responsibility, you get more privileges. Did you get that? That's how it should be in life. I tell my kids this all the time. You know what? You know what maturity is? Here it is. Accepting responsibility. You say, well, I don't like this rule in the handbook. We didn't ask you. The rules aren't put in there by vote. I personally think they should be signed and dated by why they're in there and that person's name. I think it'd be a great handbook. Much more pleasant to read, let me tell you. But we didn't ask you if you liked it. All right? Because we're not really wondering. You realize when I was here, there was a rule book too. And to be honest with you, I thought some of the rules were dumb. Okay? But they didn't ask me. They didn't sit down and say, hey, Brother Jake, what do you think of this rule? Is this rule a good rule? They didn't ask me. But watch. As you grow, as you mature, get it? You accept responsibilities if that's just how it is. You say, okay. Some of you are like, well, I don't think that's really how it is. Hey, listen. If you tried to get a job at McDonald's, okay, we're not talking, hey, I'm going to be the CEO. No, you're flipping burgers, okay? I'm glad you're flipping burgers, but you're McDonald's. And you say, you know what, today I'm going to wear my pajamas. Do you realize they would not let you come and be a part of the working force at McDonald's because you're in your pajamas? Why? Because there's a dress code. You say it's ugly. We'll agree. Okay? Maybe you don't like red and gray or whatever it is. All right? It used to be yellow and brown when I was a kid. Get it? It's just that we're accepting responsibility. Paul says it this way. I'm praying that we would grow in our faith. You say, well, what was lacking? I'm so glad you asked. Look at chapter 4. Look what he says. He says in verse number 4, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk. So, hey, as we taught you how to walk when I was with you, look what it says, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even unto your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There it is. What is God's will? What do I want you to grow in? Keep reading. Keep reading. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now watch. You know what he says first? He says, I want you to grow in your holiness. I want you to grow in your holiness. You say, well, why does he address this? Well, listen, these are young believers. These are really young believers. He has spent time there. He's given them the gospel. That's chapter 2. It came in power. Why? It came from them serving the gods of this world to serving the true and living God. But just because they became a believer doesn't mean their life turned around instantaneously. And what was a common practice in this climate, in this culture, was if you weren't satisfied with your wife, go find some other lady. So he says in verse number 3, this is the will of God, even unto sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. All big umbrella. All sexual sins. Now, I could park here a long time. I'm not. But can I tell you this? If you're partaking in sexual sins, and we're going to keep it the big umbrella for chapel this morning, you're not growing. It's that simple. Well, I know, but preacher, we're engaged. Well, preacher, you don't understand the environment I grew up in. I've heard them all. Well, preacher, you don't know, I'm going to marry her. You've only been dating a week. You get this? This is the will of God. Pretty black and white, isn't it? You say, well, why are you guys being so harsh on it? Because God is. See, God never intended for you to start off life with luggage. There's extra luggage when we decide not to do the will of God that we've got to carry around all through life. And let me tell you, those that have gone through this, let me tell you, God forgives. Praise God for God's grace and His mercy, His long-suffering. But listen, that's not what God intended for you. God intended for you to keep that within the boundaries of marriage. And when you go outside those boundaries, in the sexual sin area of your life, you're going on dangerous ground. And God never intended for you to go there. And so he says, hey, listen, I know it's a common practice in your culture. Hey, can I tell you, because of this thing here, this thing right here, I have one. You're looking at it. Now it's a very old one, some of you are saying. I get it, okay? I'm too cheap to buy a new one. But can I tell you, sexual temptation is far greater with the power of the smartphone than ever before. Why? Because it's only a couple swipes. And if you have a problem with this, get rid of it. It's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin your Christian life, and you will not grow. But notice what else he says. Look what else he says. Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. It says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye... Now get this. This is kind of crazy. increase more and more. So he says, I not only want you to grow in your holiness, I want you to grow in your love for one another. Now get this. Earlier in the book, Paul writes some of this letter to encourage them. You know why they needed to be encouraged? Because they were suffering persecution. Now think about this. How many of you think it's easy to love people that love you? Raise your hand. Oh, my mama loves me. I'm going to love mama back. Right? No problem. But what about to the person that doesn't love you? What about to the roommate that hasn't discovered deodorant? What about to the roommate that doesn't think showers are really that necessary? What about to the roommate that has ungodly foot odor? Whole nother ballgame, isn't it? And here's what I find. We have this certain plateau of love others that we come to and we say this, I'm good. I love them. And then God brings that person that reminds Paul of the thorn in his side he prayed three times for. Right? They're like, Lord, could they get COVID for a couple weeks? I'm sure the other dorm room is great. They could enjoy the scent by themselves. I don't want them to die, Lord. But boy, it would make my fall semester. Right? Now listen. And we think we're good. Why? Because we've reached this certain plateau where we love about 70% of people. But that other 30%, Lord, you know you don't love them either. They're bad people, Lord. I know they're bad. You know they're bad. You're all knowing. Right? And so what do? We can easily... Now listen to how Paul explains their love of these people towards mankind. Did you notice what he said? Look at verse number 10. And indeed, ye do it toward... That's loving people... All the brethren which are in all... What? Do you see what that word is? Macedonia. Region? I mean, their love is known so well that the area of Macedonia, not their dorm room. That'd be impressive. Not their little community. But the whole region of Macedonia is known by the love of the believers at Thessalonica. And here's what Paul says. I want you to increase your love towards one another. And I struggle with that. Why? Because, Brother Beale, I come to a certain plateau in my love level with people and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm from Chicago. We don't love everybody. You can't. Now watch. And we get to a certain plateau and we kind of cut it off. But Paul's prayer for these people is that they would grow in their holiness. They would grow in their love. But get number three. Look what the Bible says. Verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. And the third thing I find that he says we've got to grow is simply this. He says, I want you to grow in your holiness. I want you to grow in your love. But I want you to grow, number three, in your diligence. Now, I told you earlier that many times Paul refers to working with his hands. Physical labor. Matter of fact, the second book that he writes, the second letter that he writes back to this, he addresses it. Don't you, Brother Spencer? He's like, hey, I'm going to call you out by name, but let me tell you. Some of you in this church that's got a misconception of doctrine. You got rid of everything. And you're mooching off the church. And you're not working. Matter of fact, when you're not working, you become lazy. And when you're not, you become lazy, you become a busybody. Isn't it amazing how sin connects to sin? There's no need for that. But you know what I find? I believe that Paul was not only referring to a physical labor, being diligent physically, being a hard worker, which, hey, I'm all about that. I think there's other things that we need to be diligent. Here it is. I think we need to be diligent spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. You say, what are you talking about? During this COVID season, I tell you what, it's been a little weird for us. It's just like it's been weird for you, okay? March 11th, it came out. There was an outbreak out in Indiana. The meeting was just about done. We drove home, and really, I didn't sweat, like, what was I going to do, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So one night, we were getting back to the house, and one night, watch this, I decided to watch Fox News. I watched it for 3 hours. Now, I am not an anxious person. That's not me. I'm not one that really kind of has a hard time with fear and worry, okay? Though there's times where I fear and worry. But that's not I'm not that type of guy. Now, I know some of you may struggle with that, and hey, I struggle with other things, but that's not usually me. But Brother Beal, after watching 3 hours of Fox News and finding out that the world was going to end because of a virus, man, I told Jess, I'm having a hard time sleeping. I'm like, I'm a ball of nerves. I'm full of anxiety. I got this thing, it's all messed up inside. I don't know what's going on. And can I tell you why? Because I wasn't being diligent. I was just sitting back in my recliner. I just had the TV remote. I was just relaxing and sitting back and filling my mind with things that were just suspicions. You know how many times we run into trouble in our lives when we're no longer diligent in our thought life, in our physical life, in our spiritual life? You know how many times we go down a path of destruction? Because, watch, we haven't been growing in our diligence. And many times we think, oh, that's not that big of a deal. I'll be okay. And God says, no, wait a minute. Paul says, I've been praying for you guys. I'm praying for myself that we would grow. We'd grow in holiness. We'd grow in love for one another. And we would grow in diligence. But notice the second prayer request. Would you follow along with me? Go back with me to chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 11, I should say. Now the God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Paul's second prayer request for these individuals and for himself, I believe this, is that not only they would grow in their faith, but number two, they would know when to go by their faith. They would know when to go by their faith. Now, did you notice what the text said? Paul says in verse number 11, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our, Paul's talking about himself, our way unto you. Now, earlier in the book, matter of fact, chapter 2, verse number 18, he wants to come unto them, but the Bible says that Satan hindered us. So Paul's joy is to be with these, to see how they're doing, to fellowship with them, to help them in their Christian life, to confirm, as sometimes he uses in the book of Acts, as the word is used in the book of Acts, is to kind of like encourage them to grow and all this stuff, disciple them, you might say it that way. But his prayer is that they wouldn't know when to go by their faith. You know, I find that most people are concerned, most Christians, most college people are concerned about God's unique will for their life. Okay? You say, what's God's unique will? I'm talking about, okay, who do I marry? What college do I go to? What career do I take? What major do I do? What job? Where do we live? What church do you go? Those are God's unique will for your life, okay? But I often find this, that God's universal will for our life often activates God's unique will for our life. Did you hear what I said? Let me say that again so you can write it down. God's universal will for our life often activates God's unique will for our life. Now, you say, well, what's God's universal will? I have identified it as an acrostic, okay, and I'm going to give it to you quickly. BAGS, B-A-G-S, okay? So I'm going to give you these things. And these are, doesn't matter who you are, these are God's universal will for all of mankind. Real quickly, number one, John chapter 6. Would you turn with me? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse number 40. Look what your Bible says. John chapter 6, verse number 40, is simply this. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All right? Number one, B, I should say, is believe on Jesus Christ. Okay? It's God's universal will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3:9, right? We see it here in John 6:40. All right. So what is God's will? Here it is. God's universal will, number one, is that everybody would believe on Jesus Christ. All right. If you're here this morning and you have not done that, hey, my friend, today is your day of salvation. Come see me. Come see a faculty. Come see your RA or your ARA. Let us show you how that though you don't deserve it, though you can't earn it, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. All right? So that's the B. A, back to 1 Thessalonians. Back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. Here it is. Okay? So B stands for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says this, for this is the will of God. Get it? Universal will. We don't have to wonder, hey, I wonder if this is what I'm supposed to do or not. No. It's plain black and white. For this is the will of God, even under your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. All right, so the A, B-A, abstain from fornication. Hey, I want to know who God wants me to marry. I want to know where God wants me to go in ministry. Hey, I'm trying to help you out. If you'll decide to do God's universal will, it often activates God's unique will. So God says, as a young person at Ambassador Baptist College, listen to me, stay pure. Don't get involved physically with the opposite sex. Okay? Can I get any clearer than that? Gee, turn over a page. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, so the G is obviously give thanks. All right, so here what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's universal will. I'm going to abstain from fornication. God's universal will. I'm going to give thanks, watch this, for the good and the unseen good. Did you get what I just said? Well, preacher, I heard you, and I can give thanks when I've got a great ARA or RA, but preacher, I can't really give thanks, God, for this person because they're not that good. You mean you just can't see the good that God's going to do through this person in your life. I was talking to a preacher, alumni actually. I was at a meeting at his church, and he was just going through the ringer. I mean, just anything that could possibly be wrong, it seemed like this guy had it in his church. And I thought when I got to this church, man, this guy's going to need a lot of encouragement. Brother Hanke, I thought, man, I'm going to sit in this guy's office, and as an evangelist, you know what we are? We're just sounding boards. We just listen a lot. And so I just thought, man, I'm going to sit in there, and boy, we're going to spend hours. He's just going to tell me, gush. He's going to pour his heart out to me. So I got there, and sure enough, I said, hey, preacher, why don't we go for lunch? Why don't we get together? He said, man, I'd love it. Sure enough, we got together, and here's what he said. He said, I'm amazed how God has used these people to make me a better preacher. And I thought to myself, what? I already know that there's people that have left. There's people that are talking bad about them. There's people that are making threats. I already know that. I already got the scoop. And here's what he said. I'm amazed how God has used these people to make me a better pastor. You know what he was saying? I'm willing to give God the thanks for the good and for the unseen good. Can I tell you, it's challenging, isn't it? Why? Because you're human just like me. Last time I checked, I don't like being sick. Last time I checked, I don't like having financial troubles. Last time I checked, I don't like having problems in my home. I don't like relationships that are hindered. Maybe you get into that. I don't. But the truth is, we're supposed to give thanks. It's His universal will. Let me give you number four, though. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 2. Ooh. I don't want to get to schedule 10, so I got to hurry. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me in verse 13. The Bible says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governor, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Verse 15. For so is the will of God that you submit, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Obviously, the S stands for submitting to authority. What's God's universal will? That men would believe. That men would abstain. That men would give thanks. And S, that men would submit.
And I believe this with all my heart. If we'll do God's universal will, it often activates His unique will. You say, what are you talking about? Many of you know that I graduated here, finished classes in 07, and I traveled for Ambassador the spring of 08. I was in a different Christian school every single day on that spring semester. And because of that, I had the opportunity to go into full-time evangelism. I preached camps for different places. I preached Christian school revivals. I preached revivals. And we had a great schedule that very first year. What most people don't know, though, is that I came to Ambassador Baptist College, and there was a time that while on staff, I struggled. Say, what are you talking about? I was 29 years old. I already had my own business. First year in business, we made almost $250,000. I'm a type A personality. I came and I was asked to work on maintenance with another guy. Actually, some of your dads in this room, all right? But I had a boss who was the facility manager, not Brother Christensen, okay? Yeah, we didn't always see eye to eye. Why? Because if you're in the building, you know, there's multiple ways you can build. And because of my personality, and I am not saying that I was right, but because of my personality and my experience, I thought that the way I would do it would be different than the way he did it. And there was a personality clash. Let's just be honest. Matter of fact, it escalated to the place where there was words exchanged and they weren't, "Love you, brother." So, what did I do? I called my dad. I called my dad and I said this, "Dad, I'm done with Ambassador. Not education. I'm done with Ambassador as an employee. I'm going to go out," and I knew another guy that had a flooring company down the road. "I'm going to just work for him and put in floors, because you know what? Me and this guy, we're not getting along, and we're done. He said this about me, and I said these things about him, and boy, it's not good. It wasn't Christ-like. There's no love about that." And my dad said this. Second wisest thing my dad ever said. He said, "Jake," he said, "you've always been a leader." He said, "you're 33, 34 years old at that time." He said, "when you were on the ball team, you were always the captain of the ball team." He said, "at 16, you were running your own crew with men that were twice your age. You owned your own business. You ran a youth group. You've always been a leader." He said, "son, I think maybe the Lord's teaching you how to submit to authority." Well, that was not what I wanted to hear, I'll just tell you that. I was like, "no, Dad, did I tell you what he said?" And I went off and spilled again. I said, "it's over. I am not going to do it. We're done." I said, "I am done working for Ambassador Baptist College." My dad said, "son, I don't think you should quit." He said, "I think you should shut up and pray up." And I said, "Dad, are you off your rocker?" He said, "you need to submit to authority." He said, "you need to pray for him." I was like, over my dead body. I ain't praying for him. I may be quiet so that I don't look like a black sheep of the squadron, but let me tell you, I am not going to pray for this guy. And then you know how the Holy Spirit does, right? You hear a chapel message, you hear somebody with great wisdom, and like, it haunts you. Pray for him. Have you prayed for him? I know. Leave me alone. And I realized, you know, the whole thing about, it's pretty petty, but it was a huge learning lesson. Why? Because I started praying for him. And you know, I often look back at my life, didn't realize it then. But I often wonder, Brother Beal, I wonder if Dr. Comfort would have ever came to me and said, hey, Brother Jake, would you travel for the college? If I had just gone and land blasted him as a faculty member, I wonder if I would have been the choice to represent Ambassador Baptist College. Can I just help you out? Why would a guy want to pick a rebel to represent Ambassador Baptist College? See, listen. It's not, the issue isn't who's right and who's wrong. The issue is who's willing to submit and who's not. And I find often in my life, looking back now, okay, I didn't see it then. I didn't know all those years ago, Brother Spencer, that that would be a turning point in my life. I didn't know that. But now looking back, I'm like, because I was willing to do God's universal will, get it, it activated God's unique will for my life. Let me give you number three and we'll be done. Look with me back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says this, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. All right, number three, and simply this, I'll give it to you and we'll be done. He prayed that they would grow in their faith, that they would know when to go by their faith, and that they would reach their goal of their faith. You know what the goal was? To the end. Hey, when it's all said and done, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. He says it this way in chapter 2, verse number 12. He says that ye would walk worthy of God. Hey, can I tell you, when there's times where I have to get alone with God and I'm wondering, okay, Lord, what I need to pray about, man, I pull out the scriptures and I start praying the will of God from his word. And he often reminds me, would you pray that you'd reach your goal? That one day you'll hear the words, well done, how good and faithful servant. Come on. Well done. See, it's easy to start. And Brother Beal will tell you there's a lot of guys that went to this college that were great starters. But as I'm getting older, there's less and less finishers. Guys that like Timothy, that Paul were at the end of Timothy's, in that letter that we read yesterday, 2 Timothy, fought a good fight. Kept the faith. I finished the course. Hey, can I tell you? You know how you do that? You stay praying to an almighty Father. Lord, I need you. Would you bow with me?